Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The breaking news of the moment right now, and I just saw some chopper shots. I'm looking at, you know, all the different feeds locally. So apparently we have a big fire of, I guess, some trucks and construction vehicles, those large apparatus. So this was after a gas main leak led to the truck fire. This is Marlton, New Jersey. And so it's along Iron Gate Road in Marlton, New Jersey this morning. So that one's going on. If you're in that area, jamming up traffic. But police and firefighters responding to that gas main leak this morning. And all the news choppers hovering around that one. The good news here, you know, unfortunately, the road closures are happening. The good news here, nobody injured, which whenever you hear about a gas main leak or fire explosions, etc., never want to hear about that one. And then as well, closer to where I'm broadcasting from, Odyssey World Headquarters along Market Street, just a heads up, if you're headed down here, Market Street between about 2nd or Front Street area, all the way down past 6th Street, that entire area of Market Street, part of it is shut down, and it's a big construction mess. The good news, though, it'll be beautiful for next year for the 250th birthday party for our nation, as Philadelphia will be front and center, of course. But that portion of Market Street along Old City, it's going to cause some jam ups and traffic jams, all of that. So a heads up. Sad news in New Jersey. If you're aware of this family farm and family sort of a farmer's market that's pretty famous, goes back for generations, this is in New Jersey. And we've learned that the patriarch of Hunter's Farm in Cinnaminson, in New Jersey, 77-year-old, he was killed in some kind of a machinery accident. Saw a lot of reaction to this. What a shame, as we learned that it happened yesterday at Hunter's Farm, which is 1100 block of Union Landing Road, Cinnaminson, New Jersey. And they found, as the first responders found, John Howard Hunter. Mr. Hunter was 77 years young, working on the farm, which he loved doing that, of course, family man. He suffered fatal injuries as a result of what the police are calling a machinery accident. It remains an investigation, but he certainly is the family patriarch. And the family had put out a statement that their hearts were broken after this happened. So a lot of pictures, this has gone viral. And they've thanked so many of you for reaching out with love after their family's tragic loss here as they grieve with his dad, John Hunter, putting out that, you know, he was, they put out a picture, it's just a great photo with his two grandsons, his pride and joy doing what he loved to do, tarpon fishing, among other things, working on the family farm. So we'll get to, I know there's an, they have to do a death investigation, but by all accounts, they're calling it just a real tragedy, tragic accident. So we've got all that going on. We'll talk about Pennsylvania. We'll talk about the budget. We'll try to get to the gerrymandering debate that they're all focusing on. That's in Texas. But I want to return to some of this because we do have some great audio. By the way, with regard to the past topic that I was talking about with Kash Patel, remember Catherine Herridge, who was stifled and canceled by CBS? Remember this? Because she's somebody who is not a political person. She worked for Fox for many years. Highly regarded investigative journalist. CBS stole her away and made a big deal of it, paid her all this money. And then I think when they realized, oh, yeah, darn, she's a true investigator and she just follows the story. Because remember, she was reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop story. So she's putting out on her social media, Catherine Herridge, backing up her notes from back in February 2nd of 2018, if you follow her on social media and X, and as she was saying how these documents that she had and these claims from Kash Patel, for example, and then you see Kash Patel just over the weekend reposted her findings, that she was investigating a lot of this, and she is backing up these claims that Kash Patel are putting out, and as well, Ratcliffe, the now CIA director. So I just wanted to connect those dots for you. So we want to get to that. We got to get to what I'm going to call lip service and hot lips Leavitt. Remember Hot Lips Houlihan? That's MASH, the famous show that's on MeTV now. I'm going to call her Hot Lips. So who do you think gives the greatest lip service, the greatest sound bites in this administration? I have two favorites, but let's get to President Trump. I'll weave this in. President Trump speaking last night out of, this is Lehigh Airport yesterday, and I want to get to President Trump taking reporters, because he's always just taking reporters' questions. You might say, why does he even talk to the media? So this is last night. We haven't gotten to this. And this is, when I say we haven't gotten to it, I mean, I'm speaking of since 6 o'clock this morning. Listen to President Trump, what he's talking about.
Okay, thank you very much. We had a very good weekend in many respects. We're seeing phenomenal numbers in terms of the business we do with other countries and the business we do within our own country. I mean, really phenomenal numbers. We'll be announcing a new statistician sometime over the next 3-4 days. We had no confidence. I mean, the numbers were ridiculous, what she announced.
Talking about the
jobs. But that was just one negative number. All of the numbers seemed to be great. And so we'll see how that comes out. And if you remember, just before the election, this woman came out with these phenomenal numbers on Biden's economy. Phenomenal numbers. And then right after the election, they announced that those numbers were wrong. And that's what they did the other day. So it's a scam, in my opinion. My opinion is just, it's just additional scam.
On Russia, Mr. President, can you say, have those nuclear submarines been deployed yet to face Russia?
I've already put out a statement, and the answer is they are in the region, yeah, where they have to be.
Can you say what Steve Witkoff's message will be to the Russians? Is there anything they can do to avoid sanctions at this point?
Yeah, get a deal where people stop getting killed. They had a number that just came out that a tremendous number of Russian soldiers are being killed. And likewise, Ukraine, a lower number, but still thousands and thousands of people. And now we're adding towns where they're being hit by missiles. So it's a lot of people being killed in that ridiculous war. And, you know, we stopped a lot of countries from war, India and Pakistan. We stopped a lot of countries. And we're going to get that one stopped, too. Somehow we're going to get that one stopped. That's a really horrible war. You heard about Cambodia and Thailand. We got that one done. We got the Congo, which was going on for 31 years. Rwanda, that one's done. We stopped a lot of wars. This is the one we seem to be, this should be the easiest to stop, and it's not. I mean, Rwanda and Congo were going on 31 years and I got it stopped. 8 million people dead, at least. That's what they have, but I think the number's much higher. And the leaders of each country, Rwanda and the Congo, they were great. They were great, and they wanted it stopped. 31 years it went on. We stopped a lot of wars. Serbia, Kosovo was going to be happening, and I don't believe it will now, so we stopped that one too. Yes.
So I'm just going to stop it. I'm just going to pause it really quick. You know, this is the luxury of being live and local. Sometimes my husband, Larry Menti, who broadcasts from New York, he's driving home by now and he's envious. But I love playing these long form. This is a raw interview. So you're hearing this as it happened. There's no, you know, manipulation of audio or a soundbite that somebody clipped and it's taken out of context. And all I can think of when I listen to our great president, Donald J. Trump, being interviewed by these reporters, I think, man, what did you do last week? You know, what did you get done? You know, so whether it's last week or even the last month of your job or 6 months, I think to myself, this guy is just, man, he's an inspiration to me, because I might complain like, oh, you know, I got my work and I work these 12-hour days and then I got to make dinner and do the, and then I listen to him. He's like solving out of Congo and Rwanda and man, but I just can't get Russia, Ukraine and these thousands of people getting killed. And you think about his, you know, his honesty. he's just so forth. He's just off the top of his head. This is not scripted. He's not some slick talking guy. Sometimes, as I've confessed to you as a person in media, you know, I'd like to go, Mr. President, get on the plane or get on the, you know, get on Marine One, you know, stop talking. But he just, he's genuine in saying, this is my checklist, you know, to stop people from, you know, killing each other and annihilating each other worldwide. And people call him like a racist, right? Or he's a greedy billionaire. Well, he's talking about areas. When have you heard in the previous administration, did you hear the former President Biden talk about these areas? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of these areas that he just solved all this peace, right, and brings forth now prosperity, these are people who are not white people, okay? These are people who are suffering in third world countries, and he's pained by this and saying he's so happy. He wants to just have a little celebration to say, isn't this great that we're bringing forth some peace to these regions? What does that mean? That means that now they can get a taste of a better life. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he's just taking a moment with the media, who could, by the way, could care less, right? Mr. President, we want to talk about, you know, what they want to talk about. So as he talks about Witkoff, and I know I had touched upon this in the 10 o'clock hour, just to reiterate one important point, and that was that those nuclear submarines are positioned in, quote, appropriate regions, because obviously they're not going to give you the pinpoint region, but in the appropriate regions. What was this in to response to? He says, highly provocative statements from Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. Remember him? He was the former Russian president, right? Now he is Putin's right-hand guy, and he's very hawkish. And this is, you're listening to and watching, if you're, we're on YouTube, but I don't know if we have the video of this, but you're hearing President Trump speaking to a group of news reporters who caught up with him, were traveling with him. And this was Lehigh Valley International Airport. It was yesterday afternoon as he was talking about now his guy, his right hand negotiator, Steve Witkoff, who we now have confirmation today will be traveling to Russia and is speaking with Russian officials, trying to bring forth a ceasefire and meet with the deadline. So let's play a little more, if we can, Andrew Torres, as we listen to Trump in the Allentown, Pennsylvania area last night.
We're the only country that's really doing that. We're putting up money to get the people fed. And Steve Witkoff is doing a great job. And we want Israel to get them fed. We're giving some pretty big contributions, basically to purchase food so the people can be fed. We don't want people going hungry, and we don't want people to starve. And there's some bad things happening.
Do they see evidence of a genocide in Gaza?
I don't think it's that. Look, they're in a war. There, some horrible things happened on October 7th, as you know. It was a horrible, horrible thing. One of the worst I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of bad things in some president in terms of wars and potential wars. I mean, if you look at the one that we just stopped, there are thousands of people being dead already at the border between Thailand and Cambodia. Thousands of people. And I mean, I've seen some bad things, but that October 7th was with Hamas was really, really bad.
And by the way, I'll just pause it here. Hamas just releasing over the weekend pictures of some of the hostages. Because remember, we still have hostages. Yes. After October 7th, as we come up to another commemoration this fall, which is not acceptable. But here's the thing with President Trump. Okay, what they're talking about, because there are all these talking points on all different sides. So he was shown these pictures of emaciated children. Now, Israel keeps saying, you know, some of this, the kids are, you know, sadly, they're very sick and they have other conditions, kidney, whatever. What Trump says is, I don't want to hear about conditions. I'm seeing kids who are malnourished. So if they have a disease or whatever's going on, we're going to feed the people. So we're going to do food drops. We're going to do everything so that no matter what's going on here, these people are fed. Bottom line, it's not acceptable. That's what I love about him, because he's just not taking it anymore. He's not taking the talking points from anybody. He's just saying, send it in, get them fed, get it done. we're not going to have this anymore. End of it. End of story. And by the way, do you notice the media right away? Well, is there Janice? Is there? They're not going to accept that he's saying, no, this is not acceptable. It's not going to happen. That's the media for you. Take it in for a moment what he's saying. He's saying these pictures of starvation, it's not acceptable. No matter what that narrative is on either side, it's not going to happen. Not under my watch, because I am Donald J. Trump and I have the power to change this. So he did. That's incredible. And yet they want to hate on him because it's political. It has nothing to do with reality or compassion, right? Can we just play the last piece of this just a little more, just to give you a taste of, because he talked about so much more. It gets into China. So let's just listen to a little bit
Friday,
more.
If the deadline comes and Russia has not agreed to...
Because remember, last week the deadline was 10 or 12 days from last Monday.
Sanctions. You know, they're wily characters and they're pretty good at avoiding sanctions. So we'll see what happens. But Steve is focused right now on the border in terms of, we're talking about with Gaza, getting people fed. And he may be going, I think next week, Wednesday or Thursday, may be going to Russia. They would like to see him. They've asked that he meet. So we'll see what happens.
Mr. President, what advice do you have for Republicans on Capitol Hill heading in some midterms? What do they need to do? What can they do to, hold?
Well, one of the things they're going to be talking about pretty soon are the tremendous drop in drug prices. You know, we've cut drug prices
pharmaceuticals
by 1,200, 1,300, 1,400, 1,500%. I don't mean 50%. I mean 1,400, 1,500%. Because we're going favored nations. We want the same price as Europe gets. We want the same price as other country gets. And over the years, 25, 30 years ago, it started where they were charging us much more. And I put an end to it, with a letter that you saw last week. So I think that's going to be a point. I don't know how anybody could win an election if they're on the other side of that issue. So we'll be dropping drug prices. It'll start over the next 2 to 3 months. By 1,200, 1,300, and even 1,400%, and 500%, but not just 50% or 25%, which normally would be a lot, because the rest of the world pays much less for the identical drug, and we're going to be paying the same thing. We're going to have a favored nation. We will pay as low as the lowest nation in the world.
Which is incredible.
I think it just came out, $29 billion in July taken in tariff revenue. Could we see a potential rebate here, and what would that look like, and who would qualify?
Well, we're going to pay down debt. We have a lot of money coming in, much more money than the country's ever seen, by hundreds of billions of dollars. And there could be a distribution or a dividend to the people of our country. I would say for people that would be middle-income people and lower-income people, we could do a dividend, but one of the things we're going to be doing is reducing debt. But we have hundreds of billions of dollars pouring into our country now. We should have done this many years ago. And I did it in my first term with China. We didn't get to the rest because COVID hit. And you couldn't really go to France and Spain and Italy and say, let's start talking about some tariffs. But China was paying us hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs, and we did it then. And then Biden screwed it all up. He screwed everything he touched.
So there you hear President Trump here in Pennsylvania last night, all those different issues that he's just riffing on and answering reporters' questions in a very transparent way. If you have thoughts on these points, 855-839-1210. So much more we want to chat about. Be right back. So we do want to get to Hot Lips, but So I'll just take you to, this is Stephen Miller speaking out, because he would be, between Stephen Miller and Caroline Leavitt, I would say they both give great lip service. And I mean that in a complimentary fashion for different reasons, but the two of them are just this rapid fire, brilliant delivery. And so I'll begin with Stephen Miller, as he was speaking to my friend Maria Bartiromo. And so he's talking about all things economic, talking about tariffs, talking about the Steele dossier. So listen in. This is Stephen Miller on with Mornings with Maria.
Actually, to what was released this week.
The Russia collusion hoax against President Trump remains the single greatest hoax and the greatest assault on our democracy in the history of this country. There's no comparison. There's no parallel to anything else. It was a coup. And I'm using that term literally. It was a coup to overthrow a democratically elected government, a coup carried out by the intelligence apparatus of this country, by the deep state, by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. The new information that has been revealed by the Director of National Intelligence and by the FBI eliminates any scintilla of doubt about the intention, the premeditation, the planning and orchestration of this conspiracy. It meets all of the criminal elements of a seditious conspiracy against the United States. It meets the criminal elements of an insurrection. It meets the criminal elements of a conspiracy against the government and the criminal elements of a conspiracy to deprive citizens of their civil rights under color of law. One egregious felony after another. And because it is a conspiracy, as demonstrated by the forethought of realizing and documenting that they understood that this was fake from the beginning, meeting the mens rea standard in law. Because of that, because it is a conspiracy, every single individual actor is now part of that conspiracy. So that includes Brennan and Clapper and Comey and Hillary and Schiff and everybody else who knowingly and willfully perpetrated this plot, this coup, this conspiracy, this scheme against President Trump and the government of the United States. And now is the time and the hour and the moment for accountability so that we can reclaim this democracy, Maria.
Thank
you. Well, do you believe
just pause it right there if you could. I mean, that is, in a nutshell, and you think about all of these players, and remember going all the way back to Shifty Schiff, when he did that bizarre, like, Cagney, like, hey, and he was trying to put on a show and be entertaining, and all of it was just a farce. And who knew at the point? I mean, that, to me, it's absolutely incredible and ridiculous and unacceptable. I want to play this clip from Bill Maher, and this was Bill Maher on Friday. So I want to get some of this audio in because it's incredible. And listen in. This is Bill Maher speaking out about some of the revelations we've seen in the headlines.
When I think about January 6th and pardoning all the people who were involved in that insurrection.
Insurrection? How do you have insurrection with no guns, though? That's like having. That's like making coffee.
They
with
brought
no beans.
Tons of guns.
Oh, there's 400 guns currently in circulation. 40 million guns currently in circulation. One person was killed that day. It was Ashley Babbitt. She was a white unarmed person that was killed by a black Capitol Police officer. Imagine if that had been the other way around. When I think of an insurrection as a warfighter, somebody that has seen some real nasty stuff, what people have to understand is that the summer of love leading up to that was something else. We were talking about $2 billion in damage. 200 cities had to go under curfew. 22 people lost their lives. And I understand that January 6th was Democrats' white rhino, and they were going to run in that. They're going to win the next election. And Donald Trump is still president, last I checked.
Okay.
President Trump was shot, and then he had another attempt on his life yet again. Yes. And then when you have people saying that we are a threat to democracy, when you are calling him Hitler, you're calling 77 million people a threat to democracy. And this is exactly where this fission starts. I totally agree with you. I want to condemn all violence. I am a politician. I'm the only one sitting up here. I got three kids at home, and my wife is sitting up here right now. I love her dearly. What people have to understand is that we are all human beings first. It all has got to stop.
God bless you. This is Representative. This is Congressman Wesley Hunt. Thank you. Thank you for putting that out there. How many years have we all been saying that, you know, if you're going in for something, especially those individuals, and some of them I've interviewed, thrown into jail, no due process, and sat in jail and were held, no bond, not able to make bail, nothing, and then had to plead out to a misdemeanor and spent years in jail behind bars. And those people were accused of trying to run an insurrection and they didn't bring a firearm. And these are people, a lot of them ex-law enforcement, military, etc. And nobody. These are gun people, right? These are Second Amendment people. Nobody brings a firearm? Really? It's just stupid. And so I'm thankful for him. That was just perfect. That was wonderful. I love it. All right, I have to take a quick break, but around the corner, we're going to get into one, Caroline Leavitt. We'll get into her some audio you haven't heard that you must hear and the latest developments. Stay right there. I guess my husband was driving home and heard me, so Larry Mentee may be calling in any minute. But if he before he calls, let me just play this, and that is, who has the hottest lips? Who gives the best lip service? So one of my candidates would be, you know, Stephen Miller. He has great lips service. And this is one where President Trump is talking about his press secretary and asked about Caroline Leavitt. Listen in.
Even 1,200%.
If you don't want to answer this, I didn't realize she'd be in the room, but she's on my list. Caroline Leavitt.
She's become a star. It's that face, it's that brain, it's those lips, the way they move. They move like she's a machine gun. Is she in the room?
She's in the room.
She's a star, and she's great. She's a great person, actually, but she's... I don't think anybody has ever had a better press secretary than Caroline. She's been amazing.
Mr. President, thank you so much for
that
all
that. That was
of your
a time. Newsmax interview that ended on that note. The only mistake, and it's kind of a big mistake, they really should have had, gotten a shot, even if it's with their phone, but it's television. Get a shot of her reacting as he's, that's your boss. If your boss is gushing, just saying how great you are, you're the greatest in that job, you got to have the cutaway people. I mean, get a shot of her, get a picture of her reacting as he's saying that. If you're in the room, you got a phone, right? So unfortunately, we don't see her, but the president saying that about her. I'm going to say this because I know that if we had had time to get to that, Greg Stocker, he alluded to this because I said at the end of Kale and Company, I said, we didn't get to Caroline Leavitt. So I'm going to get to this. And Greg goes, it's creepy. You got to admit it's a little creepy. No, it's not. Was that creepy? You tell me, was that creepy? When you play it one more time, Andrew Torres. And for Dan Borowski, just listen to this. Is this creepy? Here's Trump.
Even 1,200%.
If you don't want to answer this, I didn't realize she'd be in the room, but she's on my list. Caroline Leavitt.
She's become a star.
Yes.
It's that face. It's that brain. It's those lips, the way they move. They move like she's a machine gun. Is she in the room?
She's in the room.
She's a star, and she's great. She's a great person, actually, but she's... I don't think anybody has ever had a better press secretary than Caroline. She's been amazing.
Mr. President, thank you.
So in that context, you tell me, is that creepy because he says those lips? But it's true that she is like, she has a delivery and she's riffing. She's not reading from a binder if you watch any of her briefings. And, of course, everyone, I think there's one today, if I'm not mistaken. As you know, she puts out the White House, the schedule and so on and so forth. Trump, by the way, is having lunch with J.D. Vance before I forget, because it's J.D. Vance's, is it his 40th birthday? I should know this, but birthday luncheon, I think. But in any event, she does. She's like a machine gun with that delivering. And she's just right on point. She's incredible. And to think about the fact that she's only, she's 27 years young, popped out a baby during the campaign, for crying out loud. They show pictures of her every once in a while, and she's got the baby at the desk, and they bring her in, And again, that horrible Donald J. Trump, not family friendly or woman friendly, which is a joke. But she is fantastic, and she is a superstar. As somebody with, and I don't know if Larry's going to call in, but he can tell you, I say this all the time, if I am an agent, like a television news agent, or just in general an agent with on-air talent, and think about that. That's Trump's background, as somebody on The Apprentice, somebody who worked in TV, right? Broadcasting, loves television broadcasting. Let us not forget, he had a hit show on NBC prime time for 14 to 16 plus seasons. So he knows talent. She is a superstar. Can't wait to see where she goes. But let me tell you something. Think about Sean Spicer, and remember the Mooch, Scaramucci. Think of all the people in that job they lasted like 12 days to a month, whatever. Sometimes they just made asses of themselves. These are people who are actually really smart people. You can go through the list of people in that job who had decades more experience than Caroline Leavitt. And she is so sharp, so passionate, and so focused. And the thing with Trump that I'll also point out, what does he bring up? He brings up, before he ever says those lips that work like a machine gun or whatever, but he talks about, you know, that face, that mind, that brilliant mind that's so laser focused. That's not easy because you don't know what they're going to throw at you. So you have to be prepared for everything. She makes the job look so easy. And you think about all of her predecessors that she's had in that job. Think of Jen Psaki, who people say, oh, Jen Psaki, she's brilliant. She makes Jen Psaki look like a joke. And obviously, I won't even mention Jean-Pierre, whatever, you know, nightmare. Again, people who've had decades experience in many different jobs, including media, big anchor jobs. And she just toasts all of them. She is incredible. She's somebody who I say, I can't wait to see, you know, what she does next in her career. But they can't say too much about her. You know, and the other piece of it is when he says that face, she has the face of an angel. It's a cherubic look about her. And she smiles, you know, just like so sweetly. And then, blah, 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 you know, she just lets it rip. And it's just, it's sharp. And so the edge to her is incredible. I'm a huge fan of Caroline Leavitt. I can't say enough about her. But I think she is a huge asset within this administration. And she never lets them see her pained or sweat, nothing. And by the way, not always in the briefing room, not always at the podium. She will make sure that if they're outside and they're whining about something, she'll walk outside. Oh, do you have a question? Then blah, 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 and she lets loose on them. I love it. I'm a huge fan of hers. But to now the media, did you hear he's creepy talking about her lips? That's not what he's not talking about that. That's not the context. So if somebody says that, now you heard it in the full context. 855-839-1210. I'll take a quick break. We'll see if we do have a couple of developing stories I want to get to. And maybe Lair Bear is still in the car and he can call in and give his take. Be right back. 78 and sunny, not quite as beautiful as the weekend, nice weather, but also I'll point out to you that we have California wildfires and as well, we have Canada wildfires. And that is prompting some air quality warnings for the upper Midwest and for us here in the Northeast, all up and down the eastern, you know, shore as you think of New York, New Jersey, and for us in the Philadelphia region. So I just wanted to give you that heads up if you're somebody who's asthmatic or maybe you have grandkids who are such. Babies are, you know, really sensitive to that, as well as maybe somebody with some COPD issues. Just want to give you that heads up as the air quality alert is coming out with the Canadian wildfires. So I think we have Lair Bear, my better half, Larry Menti, is listening. Hey, you. Thanks for calling.
Hey. Yeah, hey, could you stop with the Lair Bear stuff?
I can't
take grown men calling me Lair Bear. You got to stop.
Andrew Torres, he's filling in for Dan Borowski this week and Jimmy Kelly. And I've just asked Andrew to please, when you know, you and Jimmy, just call him Lair Bear. Just feel free, Andrew. You comfortable with that?
Stop, please.
I typically don't get involved when it comes to these kind of things. I'm married myself. I got my kids myself. So, you know, I'm pleading the fifth. I'm playing Switzerland in this situation.
Oh, thank you. What's your nickname?
I have several nicknames. There's nicknames my wife calls me, and then there's nicknames my older brother calls me. So it just depends on the context of the situation. But you can call me Drew.
In that entire sentence, I somehow didn't get the name. What does your wife call you?
Well, she calls me by my first name, Andrew, usually. And then when she's mad at me, she calls me something else. But the typical nickname I go by is Drew.
Drew, okay. Well, that's not Lair Bear. God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking for something meatier that I could use against you.
Not going to happen. So, I don't know. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm coming back from New York. It's about to turn communist. Just had a mass shooting. What could be wrong? Just being able to leave there is a good thing. Man, it's a scary time for New York City.
Yeah, I mean, here's the nice thing. It does, if Mamdani, if he gets this, which I still cannot believe, but, you know, if you're somebody like our mayor, Sherelle Parker, she practically looks like a Republican at this point. I mean, she looks like the same good East Coast mayor who's like a norm. Well, she is a nice, normal person, but I'm just saying, you know, every other mayor on the East Coast looks so much better no matter who you are.
Here's the thing. If Zora Mamdani gets in, and at this point it looks like he may win, if Zora Mamdani gets in and he can't go through with all of his promises and New York City pays for its huge mistake by putting him in, it's great for the Republican Party. It's great for the rest of the country because, you know, we then become a warning for everybody else. But it's horrible for New York.
Yeah.
It's horrible for New Yorkers, but how can you feel sorry for them when they voted him in? When they've been warned time and time again that he can't do all the things he's promising to do. He is a con man. He's an actor. He's grown up in a Hollywood family. And he's putting on the best performance ever. And look, he's good. He's really a great candidate. I don't know if people have paid attention to him, but he is smooth. He's got this great smile. And the city's falling for it, especially young people, especially 25 to 35, even up to 40, that are coming out and voting like never before.
But doesn't it show, as far as that goes, doesn't it just show that people in America's biggest city want an outsider? They don't like the other choices. And so he's considered he's a representative, he's an elected official in the state, but, you know, little known, younger guy, but he just has I think he plays himself as the outsider. So Sliwa, for whatever reason, they're thinking, we know him, he's not the answer. The current mayor, not so much. Cuomo, pandemic, deaths in the nursing homes. So it just seems like people are just looking for anybody else but the status quo.
Yeah, everybody's got their problems. The biggest problem Eric Adams has is he aligned himself with Donald Trump, but in New York City, that's a huge mortal sin. So that's why he's suffering. Cuomo, you're right, has a couple of scandals. He has the nursing homes, and he also, as you mentioned, has the sexual harassment charges, so he's not perfect. Curtis Sliwa is a Republican, and that really hurts you in New York City, where it's over 80% are Democrats. So it's really difficult for him to break through, too. So I think it may happen, especially if all four stay in the race. I think Zoran Mamdani may be the mayor. And trust me, the Republicans are already running on him. The Republicans are already using him as the face of the Democratic Party. He gets in, he's going to be a huge national figure, and he knows it. He knows that.
You know, switching to another important election, that's New Jersey's governor's race. And we often talk about the fact that, you know, New Jersey's governor, the way it's structured, is the most powerful governor in the nation. And that was a real problem, as we saw in the pandemic, because of, you know, overreach. And so now with Jack Cittarelli, I know that he's, you know, sort of, he's been revealing his plans and that sort of thing. The latest polls, and if you believe the polls, some of the headlines are that Cittarelli and Mikey Sherrill are, you know, locked in this very tight governor's race. What do you see as far as, you know, Jack Cittarelli's chances of becoming New Jersey's next governor?
I think a lot depends on what's going on nationally, but because that has a huge effect on these off-year elections, both in Virginia and New Jersey. So it's hard to say, but he has a great chance. He almost knocked off Murphy 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. He has a tremendous chance. By the way, and I wanted to get him on, and I'm and you could get him on too. I know you have him on a lot. But he said something when he was talking to Sean Hannity that I had never heard. And it was the first attack that, on Mikey Sherrill that I heard from him when he said she quadrupled her value while she's been in Congress for 6 years. And I think he was hinting at the fact that she's involved in this insider trading.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard that until he did that interview. So I'd love to get him on to find out more about that. But the fact, you know, he's playing some hardball now if he's doing that. And if it's true, that could really hurt Mikey Sherrill, who I like. I think she's really a great, you know, to talk to her and to have met her. She's really a nice person. I just don't know what she's done to qualify to be governor of New Jersey. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and she's somebody that Jack Cittarelli has talked about her stock trades. So very wealthy husband. She paints herself as a regular mom of four and obviously military veteran. So, but Jack Cittarelli's a nice guy too. You've known him a long time. They're both nice people.
So good, but
yeah.
Yeah, he is. He's gotten so good, by the way, as a candidate. He's wonderful. I just wonder, there's going to be two elections. There's the one in Virginia and there's this one. And I just wonder if Donald Trump's going to come to town to campaign for him. And I think a lot's going to have to do with Donald Trump's poll numbers and how the country's doing. If the country's doing well, if these tariffs work out, which I think they will, and we're able to solve one or if not both of these wars, then, you know, Donald Trump could pull Jack Cittarelli over the finish line. We'll have to see. We got a while to go, but we'll have to see.
I got to run. Love you, okay. Lair Bear. By the way, Mikey Sherrill's net worth, $10.2 million, according to the rankings in Congress. 10.2. So I got to run because we have the Dom Giordano show coming right up. Do we have a cross with Dom? Because I don't see him. Hey, Dom.
Hey, Dawn. Yes, Bill O'Reilly here, very much on Russiagate. And also President Trump now squeezing states like New Jersey, saying you can't have in-state college tuition for students that are here illegally.
Great stories, great Dom show just ahead.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.